This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
What up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. What a way to start off the season.
It's a tough one.
We're going to get some angry drunk callers today. I have a feeling.
Yeah, but they got to be patient. I mean, I'm sure, but you got to have some patience with these young pups that's out there, man.
You got
some young guys.
You want to call in and give your opinions, 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351, or if you're outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. There's a lot to talk about today, and very little of it's going to be good. I mean, when you only score 2 points, when you're basically a punt block scores more than your offense and your defense, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. Not going to sugarcoat this at all. It's going to be a long season if that's the way things are going to go every
week.
It's
just one game, man. Just one game.
So give me your opinions on this game, Marco. Was it one of those games that you can build on for the future, or is this something we're going to see all year long where the offense struggles to score, the defense plays okay, not great, just okay?
Well, what you saw with the Kansas City Chiefs is, one, a defensive coordinator that gets it. You know, he recognizes that, you know, Blaine Gabbert, not the most headsy quarterback. You didn't have a lot of weapons offensively, especially not giving the ball to Maurice Jones-Drew. So what does he do? He brings everybody to the line of scrimmage, gives the quarterback a lot of different looks, makes it extremely difficult to just sit back there and play. Now, Blaine won't see that every week. You know, next week when he plays the Raiders, their defensive front will not be as aggressive, not give them as many looks. It'll be a lot easier to make decisions for Blaine next week. So I don't think this is something that you'll see again. And once you get Mercedes back, that's going to help. And then I really hope that the offense, that Jeff Fish recognizes that Maurice Jones-Drew is the best player that you have offensively. He has to be on the field a lot. Only time he is out is if he's patting his helmet saying, I need a break. You don't take him off the field.
Even if the Jaguars are down, you think he should still be getting the rock? Even if they're down 21 like they were early, you're still giving Maurice Jones-Drew
the
rock?
Well, at that point in time, it was a foregone conclusion. It should have never gotten to that point. You figure to start the game off, you throw the ball 3 times. Your best player doesn't set the tempo of the game. I mean, you figure running the ball is an attitude setter. You come out throwing the ball 3 times. What are you saying? It almost sends a passive attitude. Okay, but if you run MJD 2 to 3 times to start a game off, one, you get your offensive lineman recognizing, hey, we're excited. I mean, hit this guy in the mouth, let him know what kind of day it's going to be. You got that wrecking ball and Maurice Jones-Drew and Taufu going ahead and hitting some people to start the game. This is what you're going to get today, Kansas City Chiefs. But instead, you drop back, you allow the defensive scheme, all of the things that they do defensively, Kansas City did with the blitz now, to attack, and you're playing on your heels.
Yeah, and with a quarterback who hasn't played in a couple weeks, still might be worried about that hand a little bit. Now we're going to be worried about it again. We may be having a quarterback controversy because Blaine Gabbert didn't play well today.
Maurice,
he did not look like he did in that second preseason game before he left. He did not look good at all.
Well, you know, again, it goes back to what the Kansas City Chiefs defense was doing. I was very impressed with the type of defense that was called. They were not going to allow it to be a simple deal. They would line up probably 8 to 9 guys on the line of scrimmage, and you now, offensive line, quarterback, wide receivers, who you're going to have to make a decision on who you think is coming. It was a guessing game for the offense all game long, and you saw with the sacks, with the interceptions and touchdowns that they scored, that defense play had a, you know, they just wrecked the offensive part.
Yeah, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Got a lot of people calling in already want to talk
about
the Jags game. Let's get them all in. Let's start with James driving back to Gainesville. James, how you doing today?
Hey, James.
James, you there? Cool.
Let's holler at Saqib.
Way to start the show.
Saqib is the man.
Now, James, you hear
James,
man?
There?
Look, I didn't hear you.
Oh, yeah. You're good, man?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Yeah. What you got for us today?
Well, basically, sitting there in the stands looking at it, Blaine struggled all day. Basically, if I'm trying to build my quarterback's confidence, why would I let him get beat down like that? I mean, the game was over. You might as well let Henny get some reps.
Well, isn't that going to beat down his confidence more? If he thinks every time he has a bad couple quarters that he's going to get pulled, that doesn't do anything for his confidence either.
And I really don't think I really don't think that Henny would have made a difference. It was a matter of, the if you notice, Kansas City had a guy come free almost on all those third down long situations. So schematically, the blocking scheme wasn't in place. Now, I think that, actually, be honest with you, having Blaine in there was better than having Henny because he's a little bit more mobile. You know, he had a couple of runs that kind of evaded the rush, but, you know, Henny would have been a sitting duck. I don't think it would have made any difference on which quarterback was in there. Schematically, the offense just wasn't able to handle what Kansas City presented defensively.
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. And then he didn't run Maurice to even take off
any
more pressure.
Give MJD the rock, man. I'm so hot about that.
I'm still saying it's hard to give him the ball when you're down.
Man, I'm talking about the beginning of the game. You started the first three plays of the game, MJD didn't get the ball. And then your first third down, you take him out and you put in four set.
But I get
this is the best offense. This dude is a stud.
You got to get Henny rolling at some point. I mean, if you're going to throw a little
pass. Henny or Gabbert.
Either one. You got to get them started at some point.
But what better way to do it than to let MJD swing out, toss him the ball, and now MJD go and do your work in the open field. No cornerback wants to come up and hit him, and he's too elusive for just a linebacker. He's going to make the first guy miss. So your deep, now what he does, he forces your defense to have to pursue. And what does that do in this heat in Jacksonville, 90 degrees? It gets your defense tired.
Beat him down.
That's exactly how the Jaguars looked on defense at the end of that game.
Exactly.
Slow and tired. It was like they weren't practicing in the heat, but that's what happens. When you keep going three and outs and your defense is playing more, that's going to happen to your own defense. It's counterproductive.
That's for sure.
James, thanks for the call, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Let's go to John on the south side. John, what do you think of today's game?
Okay. Well, first of all, when the only points you score are what, at the beginning of the game for a touchback?
Block punt.
Now, what's up
touchback
with that? Or safety? Now, here's the thing. This is going to be a quarterback controversy that's going to start now. And to be quite honest, it should. And again, I'm going to just tell you my straight up opinion. You've got a quarterback sitting out there right now who's unemployed, and his name is
God,
Mr.
Don't
Tebow.
Even don't. Can I cut you off
hold
before
on,
you even
on,
say it?
Hold
no,
on.
I'm not holding on.
Wait a minute. Wait
I
a minute.
I don't want to hear this name.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, because this is very true, and you need to hear it. And you might be a hater a little bit, right? But this is the truth. This is the truth. You got someone who excelled in college.
Led
the Denver Broncos to the playoffs.
No, he didn't. The defense led them to the playoffs.
Let me finish my statement, please. Okay?
Just get it out.
So
Tebow. Just say it, Tebow.
I already did. Now, listen. We have him waiting. He's not working for a team right now. As you see, our quarterback again this year cannot put points on the board at the touchdown.
Let me say this, Jim. Can I say this? There were
30 other.
I'm gonna cut you off, man, because this is done. Tebow's a wrap. 30 other teams. There's been two that tried Tebow. 30 other teams have said there's no go with this dude. He's not a quarterback. I beg to differ.
I would trust
because of what the
coach.
Kansas City Chiefs did defensively. I mean, you have to recognize what they did. These guys were confusing the Jaguar offense. Blaine Gabbert got looks that he hadn't seen in the line, and it's only going to be by repetition. He's got to see that. He's got to now go back, see the film, recognize, I had all these guys. He dropped here. This happened. That happened. And to see the mistakes, that's the only way he's going to get better. And
I hear you.
And
here.
Tim Tebow can't handle that.
Let me just finish.
We're done with Tebow. Peace out.
Let me just finish my last statement here.
Say your one
let
statement.
Let me just finish my last statement here.
Better make it quick,
and it's
though,
this. Man. Yeah. This is it. Anything less than that, you watch. We're just going to have a less than mediocre team, and we're going to be talking this way every single week until we don't have a winning season again. That's all. And I love watching the Jags. I'm a supporter, but I love listening to your show too.
Oh, we like this. Yeah, thanks for calling, man.
We love getting it in. We love getting into it.
We're just enough
of
the Tebow, man.
Exactly.
I mean, it's done. It's a wrap. He's not.
The thing. The dude's a free agent. He cleared waivers, which means nobody wants
him.
I mean, it's hard to judge how Tebow's going to play if he ever played here. But, you know, you got to get past the moral aspect of it. I think that's what people are getting caught up in.
Why not Leak? Why you can't bring back Leak then? You just going to own about
guy.
These darn Florida quarterbacks.
And that's the thing. Like,
what about Danny Werfel?
Here's a great example. Future Hall of Famer that's out there right now that's retired. Brian Dawkins. would be an amazing leader on defense. Very Christian guy. Is not quiet about how outspoken he is about being Christian. Mm-hmm. A great leader on defense from Jacksonville. Why does nobody ever start calling for him to come? Have him come out of retirement and lead the defense.
Just leave.
I mean, that's my point. It's like,
man, just let him just figure out where he's going to play next.
Let's keep going to the phones. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to Melvin. How you doing today, Melvin?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this week?
Good, man.
Hey, Marco. How you doing? I spoke to you last week. I told you I call it at the end of the season. I give my opinion.
You go come early. I know. I know. Hey, man, when I was up and the game was going on, I said, I know Melvin is going to call and talk about this darn Henny. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it.
Well, hey, guys, you know, it's like, hey, Marco, you know, you're right. You gotta run MJD a little bit more. You know, he's a veteran. You know, he hadn't played for a little while. You gotta put him in there. You gotta feed him that ball. You gotta run MJD. First of all, Marco, I agree with you on that. The second thing here, Marco, you know, I told you, you gotta put him in. You gotta get him in the chance. You know, Blaine ain't cutting it. He just ain't cutting it. You gotta get him in the chance and let him play a full game. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not taking anything from Blaine. Blaine, I love you, man. But you gotta get him in the chance. Put him in there and see what he can do. You know, Marco, I agree with you again. You know, if Gabba starts next week, that's fine. You know, let's see what he can do in second week. If he doesn't get the job done, that's what he gets paid for. Then, you know, you gotta give somebody else a chance. I think hitting, you know, and that's my feeling, Marco, and I'm gonna stay with that throughout the season. You put hitting in there, man, and you're gonna get results, and you run MJ, you feed MJ that ball, and you get results. I totally believe
that. Well, you know, Blaine kind of let me down. I wasn't anticipating this type of game, out of Blaine today. I thought he would be a lot more. I wasn't looking for him to be Brady-esque, you know, but I was looking for him to play a lot better. He looked, you know, the Kansas City defense had him completely confused. He didn't know where to go with the ball. And at the same time, you had drops, and guys couldn't get any separation at the wide receiver position. You did see the coverage was really tight, and with blitzing, it's just man on man. So now these guys one-on-one couldn't beat guys in those routes. So you also got to share a little bit of blame to those guys that were out there doing the receiving.
Good question for you. Is it the fact that Blaine's holding on to the ball too long, or is it guys that aren't getting open, why he's throwing these picks and why he's getting sacked?
Well, you know, it was a lot of indecision because he, you know, what he saw at the beginning of, at the start, at the snap, he didn't get that during the course of the play. And like I said, this Kansas City defense, man, made it extremely
difficult.
They have
a bunch of Pro Bowl. I mean, I was saying this during the pregame. This is had six Pro Bowlers on this team. This is not a two-win team. You add Andy Reid to the mix, and you add Alex Smith to the mix. This is going to be a playoff team.
The voice of the Jaguars,
or the voice
Ali,
of the
Barry. The linebacker,
three of their linebackers were Pro Bowlers.
Oh my goodness, man. You know what I mean? And you got an aggressive defensive coordinator that wants to get pressure. He's not going, and these guys were man to man. You watch the majority of the game, their cornerbacks was in their faces. They had one guy, Smith, I think he about 6'5", saw him next to, Ace Sanders. It was like it was,
a giant. Small. Let's take one more call before we got to go to break. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Saqib, loyal listener. How you doing, man?
What's up, Saqib?
Hey, what's up, Mark? What's up, man? My thing is 2 points, first down to 93. That's unbelievable. And the thing is, I think what my personal opinion is, Blaine Gabbert was not ready to play because – The whole hand thing, I think he wasn't ready. And I think we should have never started him this. He was just not ready. Wait till he gets a little healthier, then start him. I don't understand why the coaching staff could not see that and why they couldn't see that in practice. He was not ready this week. I'm not understanding. Why would you start a guy with a throwing hand that he can't throw? I don't understand that. You just put him in a bad situation. Now he's hurt again. I mean, if this guy is your franchise quarterback, why are you doing this? Why?
I mean, you want to.
That means you don't have no confidence in this guy. I don't want to. I'm tired of 2-14, Marco. I'm tired of getting made fun of every week, and it's just ridiculous that we cannot find a quarterback. We have not had a quarterback since Mark Brunell. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, it'll get better. I mean, I think this is just the first game, Saqib. I don't see this team going 2-14. It's going to be – something's going to be handled with that quarterback. This coaching staff is probably – I'm going to have to go back to Melvin and retract my deal. If Blaine plays again the same way next week, I think he will see Henny. They're not going to mess around with that. I don't think so. But ultimately, man, with this team right now, the best offensive player is Maurice Jones-Drew. And if and this is the second offensive coordinator, or maybe then probably a third offensive coordinator that's coming here and starting out not recognizing that. Maurice Jones-Drew is the guy. 25. You got 60 plays. Maurice should have 25 of those.
Well, we were talking about it, you know, in the beginning of the, before the show started. You don't even know if Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be around next year.
Exactly.
You don't know. Even the Jags give him a great offer, and he still might not want to come back. So why not work him as hard as you can all year long?
If he's not over there getting some oxygen, then I don't feel like I didn't done my job.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. We got to take a quick break. But we want to remind you, the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, Maple finished. I think we're going to have to finish with some Crown Royal today after that 28-2 loss. Give us a call, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We are taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or if you're out of the area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. The phone lines are just lit up today. Everybody wants to chime in after the 28-2 loss. Let's go to Julie in Ponte Vedra. Julie, how you doing today?
Hey, Jay. I know you're from the Philly area, and I just wanted to know if you thought Andy Reid looked like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes in that giant red shirt.
You know, I got to say, I tweeted out earlier in the day that he looked like Santa Claus. He could definitely, if he doesn't make it in coaching this year in KC, he can be part-time Santa, no problem. But when I was watching him in Philly, you know, that last couple of years, he had slimmed down. I mean, he was, you know, maybe it was the stress. I mean, I know his son had died as well. Maybe all that just came together and he lost some weight. But now that he's in KC, it's like fat and happy all over again.
Well, I saw that barbecue.
Oh,
that KC
mean,
barbecue.
You probably could have fit a family of six under that shirt, right?
Probably. All right, thanks for the call.
All right, Jay.
Keeping the—I mean, he did. He looked like Santa Claus. All in red. He's
Big
jolly,
red.
Jolly fellow.
At least when I played for the Eagles, they called him Big Red. Now Big Red's wearing. Red.
You were there when Andy Reid was there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was his nickname, Big Red.
How is he as a coach? Is he you know
oh,
friendly
great,
guy to
man.
The players? Or
oh
is he,
man,
you know,
I love Andy Reid. One of the better coaches I played against. Not as a personality, good guy, preparation. He gets it. I mean, like I said, you know, the Jaguars played against some quality, you know, today. This wasn't just some local joker that's just rolling it up the streets. You got a perennial winner in Andy Reid. You got a winner, a guy that just came from a Super Bowl winning team in Alex Smith. So he understands what it takes to win. Then you got players like Ali, Barry. You got, you know, the linebacker. I mean, they have guys on that Kansas City team that know how to get it
yeah,
done.
Yeah, this wasn't the 2-4 team you saw last year.
Not at all. This was a completely different. Like I said, you got coaches like Sutton, Andy Heck that's over there, you know, former Jaguar coach, quality assistant coaches that prepared. This is a good – they played against a team that's going to be competing for a divisional championship.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's taken over Denver in that spot, but they'll be competing
they'll
for
be
a playoff
competing.
Spot, especially if
competing.
They keep playing the way they were playing. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Jeff in Pensacola. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, I just got a question. You know, I watched the game on the NFL network, not in the local area. It's frustrating to see Blaine Gabbert doing what he's done again and again and again. I just don't think that he's growing the way that the coaches keep telling us that they think he is. What do you guys have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. I definitely get it. I mean, after 3 years of mediocrity, basically, and then him getting hurt as well, it's hard to say, let's give this guy another chance. But at the same time, he's in a new system, and, you know, it's his first game back, and I think if he doesn't do well this year, I think he's gone. I think this is the final year he gets. You know, I give him a little bit of slack because of all the coaches.
You, but it's every single year. Every single year, everyone's giving him another excuse. When are we going to be able to say, hey, this is the money we're paying him, this is what we expect him to do, is he going to do it, or are we going to put somebody else in the system?
I think this year is it. And I do believe that he will start again next game. And if the results, you know, he plays the same way, I really don't anticipate these coaches hesitant as far as throwing Henny in the game. I really don't. He's going to get an opportunity again. Because, I mean, you got to look at it. I can't say enough about this Kansas City defense, man. I don't think that there would have been much of a difference with Henny in the game with the way that this defense attacked the Jaguar offense.
And this is exactly what happens when you draft a QB high.
We had the equal record last year. We were as bad as they were.
But you got to look
at
the personnel.
Yeah, but they have a new quarterback now, a new coach. Yeah. They got a perennial playoff winning coach. As much as we love Gus Bradley here, he hasn't been a head coach ever. Andy Reid is playoff after playoff. Right. So you know he knows how to bring it.
You got Dwayne Bowie, wide receiver. He's a perennial veteran. You look at the wide receivers.
It's
we had nobody. Oldest guys
in
second
year. Someone that wants to pay money to go watch the game or watch it on whatever station we're watching it on is just frustrating.
Well, the reality of it this season is going to be a lot of frustration. There's got to be some patience also, because you got to recognize you got a new head coach. Not only is he a new head coach, he is literally a new head coach. He's never head coached in this league before. Then you have you got rookie corner, rookie safety. Your best wide receiver is only in his second year. You got a rookie tackle
and he came
from out
D3.
There.
It's not so like
you
he
got a lot
D1
of
one guys all his career.
You got a lot of guys that are in, you know. Then your number one pick is out for four games, so he's going to take some time for him to get better. So you figure it's going to have to be some patience and some understanding along the way of this season.
Yeah, and this
the team can get better.
This is exactly what happens when you draft a QB high. Because I'm not saying Blaine's going to be a bust, so don't get me wrong. But this is why you have to be right, because it sets your franchise back so far if you're wrong. Because you said he's a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. He's only in his third year. You don't want to say, all right, we screwed up early on, if he still has an opportunity to make it. When you draft a quarterback high, you are assuming he's going to be your quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. And this is why it sets you back, because you have that. It's like, wow, we took him at 10. We better make sure that he's not going to be able to play in the NFL before we do anything. Not saying he's going to be a bust, but this has to be what's going in the minds of everyone.
And unfortunately for Blaine, the guy that's here at general manager didn't draft him. So really, I think it makes sense to give him another game. But if he doesn't get it done, I don't think there's going to be any hesitation with Caldwell and those guys to make a decision to get another quarterback a chance.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Go to Rob driving home. You driving home from the game, Rob?
No, my brother lives up in Jacksonville. I came up. We're Dolphins fans, so we just got together to watch the Dolphins game. But you know, enjoy the show on the way home. I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to say, as a Dolphins fan, Henny drove me crazy. You know, he's like, he'll do enough to make you think he might be the guy, but then he really can't be the guy. So I just wanted to chime in with that. Also, Marco, I'm a big fan, man. Still my all-time favorite draft was when the Dolphins got you and Troy Vincent in the same draft, man.
That's what's up.
that was a day, man. I was happy that day, I tell you. And you were a great player for us.
We had a good season rookie year too. Real good season. Thanks, man.
You
I appreciate
did, man.
That. Thanks a lot.
The only thing, if I could just say one thing, man, I wish you would have fell on that fumble in the AFC Championship.
Don't bring
game.
Back some both. Hey, rookie mistake, man. I was a rookie out there.
Man, but you were bad, man. We man, I remember when they drafted you, man. It was awesome watching you and. Just appreciate your career, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, bringing up some shades. I see a tear in your eye over there
after
that fumble
comment. Yeah, it was terrible, man. It's a long walk back to the huddle, back to the sideline when you mess up on a play like that.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Justin on the south side. Justin, how you doing today, man?
Good. How you doing?
Hey,
good.
Justin.
What you got for us today?
So why didn't you guys pick up, or the Jaguars pick up Alex Smith? That would have been a heck of a draft, or a pickup, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure those Jags are saying that about a lot of free agents that have been out there, but you got to realize when it comes to free agents, there's two things that are huge in the mind of any free agent. One, not in any particular order. One, it's winning. Mm-hmm. Consistently winning. A lot of free agents will sit there and say, you know what, I don't need the money. I want to win a Super Bowl, and that's why I'm going to choose my team later in my career. And the other one is the money. Typically, the Jags haven't put out huge dollars for free agents, you know, in the past couple of years. I mean, you see, I think the biggest free agent signing they had in a while was Paul Posluszny.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't do it. I don't know why, but they don't.
That's not very good. I mean, Alex Smith is a proven winner, isn't he?
He is. He had a great career. And, you know, what did I think he said? He was 19-5 in San Francisco. And he got hurt and they let him go. You know, so it's not necessarily up to the Jags. I mean, they're probably – I don't know if they made an offer or not, but it's up to him.
I don't think they did.
It's up to him choosing.
Do you think they tried to even pick him up?
Well, yeah, you never know. But, again, ultimately, as a free agent, experiencing that, being in that situation, you have decisions to, you know, as far as deciding where you want to go. Now, if you're a player like Alex Smith had options, You know,
he's the number one quarterback.
He was the top free agent quarterback that was available. So now all of a sudden, every team that needed a quarterback, I'm sure, gave his agent a call. So now, as Alex Smith, let me evaluate the best situation that's going to propel my career. And I don't know, for him, 9 years in the league, you come and go backwards to a team that's rebuilding, or go to a team that's rebuilding but has a roster and a proven head coach. I'm sure that was an easy decision for him to make as far as the difference in the teams.
Yeah, you're probably right, but still, I mean, wouldn't it have been nice to have him?
Yeah, I had to overpay him. I mean, that's the thing. In a situation with the Jags at this point in time, with, you know, being in that position before, you just either go get all the money or go get a winner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's the point. It's this team, when you're 2-14, you have a lot of holes. So mm-hmm. What do? Do you sit there and spend the franchise money on a quarterback and then not have the money to fill those other holes because of salary cap? Or do you try to spread the money out equally, get a nice balanced team, maybe win a couple games, see what happens, and as guys leave, you get rid of bad mm-hmm. contracts. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew, like we've been talking about, no guarantee he's going to be here next year. That's a big contract that comes off mm-hmm. the books.
And I think that, you know, really for the fans and definitely for the team, is not to have a knee-jerk reaction with this one game. I mean, you got to recognize you got a rookie at tackle, young guys at wide receiver, young guys on the defense, a new head coach, a new owner. The owner's just on this is his second year. So everything is new. It's fresh paint still. You still got the new car smell on this thing, baby. So you're still working out the kinks. And it's going to be some growing pains. This season is going to be about ups and downs, I think, the entire way. But I believe the Caldwell, Khan, they have a plan, and it's not going to be about just one season. They recognize that. It's going to be about the next couple of years now, whether
– And that's the issue, yeah. Especially when you get a new GM and a new coach. You're left with the players that were here from the previous regime. You mm-hmm. cannot replace everybody in one season if they don't fit yourself. You got to work with what you have. So maybe, you know, Gus Bradley has a different idea of what he wants, a different offense he wants to run, but he doesn't have the personnel to do it. He's just stuck with what he has. Yes, so he's running certain plays, and that's why you need to give everybody a couple years to make sure they fit and a couple years to draft the players that he wants.
You figure Khan's even evaluating whether Gus Bradley was the right person to have. I mean, it's a lot of evaluation going on, which is the tale will be told in a couple of seasons, to be honest. Not just one game. Just one game.
355-NFL-1, the 355-6351. Let's go to Donnie, who's driving home from the game. Donnie, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
All right.
Good.
Enjoy the show. First of all, kind of tongue-in-cheek, I was disappointed when we took a punter in the third round last year. But
yeah, especially when you have Russell Wilson looking, on the board.
Well, and now looking back, though, if you're going to punt the ball 12, 13 times a game, you probably should have a good punter.
That's for sure.
So, but my real comment is, I think Marco said about if this guy Gabbert doesn't do it next week, we there's a good chance we should pull him. And I'm almost opposite of that. I'm almost thinking, I want to see this guy, unless he's hurt, I want to see him in every play of every game for a true evaluation, because if he's not our guy, if he ain't going to take us 10 years down the road, we need to get a quarterback next year. So I want to see him in, whether he's 4-for-16 for 25 yards, until the coaching staff comes to the point where, all right, he's not our guy, then, yeah, let's put in Henny. But until they make that decision, I don't want to go back Henny, Gabbert. Henny does bad, then Gabbert's back in. I would like to see a true evaluation of Gabbert, because we got to move on if it's not him.
Yeah, it's a great point you made there. I mean, he is, you know, a top 10 pick. You want to make sure for sure that he's not the quarterback if you want to move on. You don't want to say, all right, well, we gave him 2 games, and then we pulled him, and then Henny got hurt, so we brought him back for another couple games, and he plays all right. You want to know. I mean, I'm not saying that you should just throw away the season, but no one was really picking the Jags to compete for the playoffs this year. We all said, you know, an 8-8 year would be a successful year. If Blaine Gabbert can give you that, is it going to be there, or is if Henny's going to give you that? What do you need to know?
I think in this particular game, the blame shouldn't be thrown completely on Blaine. I believe the offensive coordinator, Jeff Fish, has to take some of the blame as for how the offense wasn't able to get things done against this defense. They didn't seem to have the right answers for the blitzing that they were doing. You know, it had guys coming free, so the protections were, you know, out of order. Now, whether Blaine had someone he was supposed to throw to and didn't, guys didn't get open. When the offense does this bad, it's not just the quarterback. I mean, that blame is shared amongst everybody that has something to do with that offense, and that's including the offensive coordinator, which I'm sure him himself, you know, he'll take onus and responsibility for not having the offense able to get things done against his defense. This was complex. This wasn't just a your four man lineup and you know your four man up front and then the three linebackers and they stand there and just what you see is what you get. These guys made it extremely difficult. It's only going to be quarterbacks like a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady that are proficient and seen a lot of defenses that will be able to diagnose how things are going to go and where to go with the ball. Then you got to have some wide receivers that's going to get open.
Yeah, and these wide receivers on the team, very young, very inexperienced.
They also didn't recognize what was going on and to make the right decisions.
Yeah, I mean, there were exactly like one of Gabbert's interceptions. You don't know if Cecil Shorts ran the wrong route or Blaine Gabbert just underthrew it. That's the things you don't know that you got to hear from the coach later on. But, I mean, somebody's on the wrong page. You're just not sure who and what. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Got to take a quick break. We're going to come back, take all of your phone calls. The phone lines are lit up. Just make sure you hold on and keep with us. We're going to try to get to all of them. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Right back after this quick break here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Welcome back. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL-1, the 355-6351. Taking your calls on the ugly 28-2 loss. Not the way we wanted to start out the season. Got a lot of people on hold, so let's get right back to the calls. Let's start with Mary driving home. Mary, were you at the game?
I was, yes.
How late did you stay? Because I saw a mass exodus there.
Yeah, 10 minutes left. Nobody was gone.
The bitter end.
All right.
Loyal fan.
That's what's up, Mary. Yes.
I am. Okay, I was in the north end zone, and on the last play that Gabbert had, whoever it was who tackled him or sacked him or whatever the heck it was repeatedly pulling on his arm and his shoulder and his wrist and his hand and everything, like over and over and over again. And I knew he was going to be hurt, and I saw him then get up and run off. My question was, is it a finable offense?
It depends. You have to prove intent, and that's the hardest thing to do. I mean, you know, especially with there's always replays around, but you got to, I mean, you could easily sit there and say, well, he was trying to grab the ball or he was trying to, you know, move his jersey around to get him off of it. It's really tough to prove. Now, sometimes they're very obvious and players have gotten fined for that, but the hardest thing to do is prove intent. And if it was proved to be intentionally trying to hurt him, like you see helmet to helmet hits when Ndamukong Suh actually hit the guy in the groin, like those kind of things.
Yeah, so what they'll do, Mary, is the NFL, they review plays. They review things like that. So say, for instance, that the Jaguars do think that was something that was that needs to be reviewed. They'll send it to the NFL. They'll view it and evaluate it to see if it's something that's a finable offense for that particular player.
Well, it sure looked it to me. I mean, I wasn't even that close. I mean, I was, like, down in the very front of the end zone there where I sit, but it was like, I was like, oh, my God. I just knew it was going to be an injury of some kind, and it looked it to me. But, like you said, intent. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging around, too, Mary.
Thanks
great
for the
job.
Call, man. And we just got word from the official team word that Gabbert's right hand has a laceration. He took 15 stitches after the game. And that injury report is brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. So doesn't look like it's, you know, anything broken. Doesn't look like it's going to re-injure what he already had there. It looks like he may have just, you know, got a slash in there, had to take some stitches. But the question is, will he be good to go for next week? Mm-hmm. You don't know. I think it's going to be a pain thing. I'm sure they can either, you know, bandage that up pretty well. It is his right hand. So it all depends if he can grip and throw the ball. I think it's about a pain tolerance now, and that's iffy.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you got, what, Monday, Tuesday off? Well, you know, before he has to get to work on Wednesday, he needs to be part of the game plan and getting throws on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's a West Coast trip, so he probably has less time than he normally would if it was a home game to get ready and get back in there.
Yeah, you figure that flight all the way over, how that the altitude will do your hand and all those type of things. So, you know, hopefully he'll be healthy.
Yeah, might see another week where he doesn't practice, and that could be part of the problem. I mean, he didn't practice a lot.
He is not the type of doesn't have enough experience to say, you know, you don't have to practice and come out here. We'll put you out there and play. He's not at that point yet in his career.
And I think this is a very winnable game playing up against, Oakland next?
You'll see the defense is going to be easier.
We all thought Oakland was going to be horrible this year, but Tampa Bay had a hard time with them today. I mean, there was a lot of goofy games going on today. You know, we all thought that the Jets were going to get blown out. The Jets ended up losing. We all thought New England was going to blow out Buffalo. It was a close game to the very end when New England won it. You know, you got Chicago over Cincinnati, Miami beating Cleveland. doing pretty bad, and Detroit beating Minnesota. So, again, it looks like there's a lot of parity going on in this league. Again, you just never know who's going to win. I mean, I even heard Arizona was supposed to be horrible this year, and that game with St. Louis tied 10-10 at the half. Yeah.
And right now, San Fran, is, well, you know they were going to be good. They're doing a pretty good job against Green Bay.
It's 14-7. Yeah, you know it's going to be a tough game.
They're kicking my man Rodgers' butt, which I'm happy to see.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Who do we want to go to next? Let's go to Joy, because we need a little Joy. It's been a pretty depressing day. Joy, how you doing today?
Hey, Joy.
Joy, you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey there, Joy.
I have a question for you.
What you got?
You were the coach. Would you have put Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert in the whole entire game?
Yeah, me being the coach, I say if you make the choice to go with Gabbert, you stick with him till the very end, because you got to see what he's out there. You got to at least set a precedent. You don't, like we said, it's one game. You don't want to sit there and be like, after an interception or two interceptions, you pull him right away, because what's that going to do for his confidence? Maybe he was just off today, maybe not, but if you start pulling him after every time he makes a mistake, it's going to get into his head that I can't make a mistake. And what happens when you think about making mistakes? Usually end up making them.
Making mistakes. Yeah, I agree. Keeping Gabbert in was the right thing to do. For sure.
Well, I mean, when they put Henne in the last minute, I mean, we had a big game. I mean, we were like close to the end zone.
Yeah, but the game was also over at that point. You got to remember, the Kansas City Chiefs defense wasn't playing the same that they were in the first quarter towards the end. They're playing a little prevent, nothing behind them. They don't want those long bombs to get them to catch up.
That was a lucky bounce for our man Cecil Shorts. The ball just popped in his belly. I mean, it really, if Henne, I personally do not think there would have been much of a difference if Henne would have played in this game. Offensively, the Jaguars just were not ready to handle what the Kansas City Chiefs brought to the game today. My opinion.
Yeah, thanks.
And in the beginning of the game, we got the punt block, and I guess we were all fired up. And then in the second, third, and fourth quarter, we just kind of lost it, and it destroyed us.
Yeah, I mean, we played good the first quarter. After that, there was pretty much nothing good to talk about. So you can't even say they lost in the fourth, because overall, it was just a bad game. I mean, once we got those 2 points, say they scored 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, you know? So you can't blame it on one quarter. You can't say they let it go at halftime again like they used to do. It was 14-2 at halftime. They scored 2 more times in the second half. Defense actually played a little better, but again, they probably weren't trying to score as hard as they were in the first quarter. So you got to look at everything in perspective. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Got to talk to Ryan, because he's had a tough day. We think our taking the Jags loss was hard. We got to talk to Ryan. Ryan,
what's up, Ryan?
How you doing today, man?
How you doing, guys?
Sounds like you had a rough day.
Dude, I'm driving back to Tallahassee right now. I go to FSU, and speaking of that, I love seeing Lonnie Pryor on the team and Harris. It's pretty tight. But, yeah, I mean, my family's been season ticket holders since the very beginning. And I was at the Jaguars games at 3 years old, a young kid, and I've been listening to the the game radio show for so long, and I've never called in one time, but it's, you know, my grandmother died today during the second quarter of the game, and my dad turned on the television and said, "Oh, look, Mom, the Jaguars are losing again," and she kicked the bucket right there.
Wow.
About a minute later, he said. But it just kind of summed up the day to me on the field. But I will say, when we got Gus Bradley, I saw what he did at that Seattle defense. It was really nice, and we got a lot of good talent in this draft and in the off season. And I love the way the defense fought today. They fought hard. I mean, it's tough when you're losing that bad to come out and keep putting stops up continuously. And they really put more effort forth than you know, it wasn't like a guarantee they had to do that. So Will Blackman and Evans and all those guys, I got to give a big shout-out to them, because they played their hearts out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for the call, Ryan, and prayers to your family, man.
Yeah, man, I tell you, definitely first and foremost, man, our condolences to you and your loss with your family. And I have to agree with you, that second half, after that last touchdown that the Kansas City Chiefs scored, there was a punt. They forced the Kansas City Chiefs to punt every time after that. Now, they needed a big play at that two-minute mark, right at the two-minute of the first half, when Gratz had the ball right in his hands. They got to take advantage of those type of plays. would chalk that up as being a rookie. I made the mistake of not getting a fumble recovery when I was a rookie.
But I
it was the championship game, so it was probably even worse, I guess, magnified. But the defense came out in the second half, and they forced him to punt every time. They gave him out. They gave the offense an opportunity to help themselves out to get, you know, to get some ball movement, to hold on and control the ball. So the punter to me actually was my defensive player of the game because he kept them backed up.
Yep.
So
it was good to hear from him. And that's the thing. You know, you got diehard Jags fans, and it's always horrible to lose a family member, especially that's a diehard Jags fan. But at the same time, you're looking at a guy like our last caller. You're finally starting to see that the people that grew up with the Jags. Now we're getting into that year where a lot of people from Jacksonville, I'd say the majority of the people that live in Jacksonville aren't from here. They already have their established teams, which is probably why there's hard to sell tickets here. But now you're getting that crop that since they were little grew up with a team, grew mm-hmm. up in Jacksonville and had the Jaguars. And that's why it's so important right now to keep faith in the team, because this is the years. These are the years that people finally grew up with the Jaguars, that are old enough to get season tickets on their own, to come to games, that have been born Jaguars fans yeah. and didn't just happen to have another team that moved in here.
That's for sure.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-NFL-1 or 355-6351. Let's go to Tori in Orange Park. Tori, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, fellas. Just to piggyback on what you guys have said, I have been a Jags fan ever since I was in the 11th grade. And I got two questions for you guys. One, after evaluating Gabbert for the last 3 years, do you think this experiment, you know, for the most part, I mean, do you really think he's going to turn the corner?
It's tough to say. I mean, like I said, I don't like to give NFL players the benefit of the doubt. One guy I do is Gabbert, because he's had three different coordinators, three different head coaches in three different years. That's going to be tough on anybody, especially a quarterback. You have to learn three different systems, a different system every year. He has yet to have a consistent coach and a consistent playbook to learn and develop in a system. And that's hard to evaluate whether he's going to be good or not when your coach keeps changing every year.
And I'll have to say that, you know, this next game will say a lot about him. How do you come back after a very poor performance in the next week? Are you prepared? I mean, regardless of the hand.
In a game you should win.
In a game that I think that they definitely match up better.
I just want to ask you guys one more question. Now, is this one other thing? I understand it. I know this keeps coming up. But realistically, given the statistics that we saw, do you really feel like Tebow could have done any worse?
Honestly, I've seen Tebow do a lot worse. I mean, just go down his game by game frames. If the defense didn't keep him in, I mean, just look at the games he won in Denver. How many times was he god awful until the fourth quarter? How many times did he have? I saw him win a game that he completed two passes. That's about the defense. That's not about Tebow.
Man, I'm just.
I could throw two passes and complete them. And if my defense is pitching a shutout, we're probably going to win. And I've never played a day past high school football.
I'm going to go on record right now to say I am not responding to any more Tebow anything other than he comes in here and says hello to me. That's it for me and Tebow.
Well, Marco, let's bring up the next call then. Let's bring up Greg. Greg, who do you want to talk about, man?
Well, I'll tell you what, the previous caller kind of blew my glory away about Tebow. I had a question about that, but let me say one thing. I hope that, like Yogi Berra said one time, it's deja vu all over again. Well, I hope that's not the fact with the Jags, but I do have a legitimate question, though.
What you got?
Why Gabbert is, you know, he's, you know, so-so. He's a St. Louis boy. I'm from up that area. But realistically, Tebow couldn't do worse. He'd bring enthusiasm to everybody. I mean, realistically, and what would be the pros and cons?
I'm going to give you my realistic expectation on why not to bring Tebow in. It has nothing to do with his religion. It has nothing to do with the way he plays quarterback. But here's the way I see it. Tebow is such a polarizing figure. You cannot talk to one person on the street that doesn't have an opinion one way or the other, and they're really strong opinions. You're going to have guys that hate Tebow and will never give him the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, which is just as bad, you are going to have guys that are going to sit there and say nothing is ever his fault.
And I think that's what's going to tear the team apart, because let's just say he comes in here, throws four interceptions. You know as well as I do, half the fan base that loves Tebow is not going to blame him for throwing four picks. They're going to blame the offensive line for not giving him time. They're going to blame the receivers for not giving him, not getting open. And there's where the issue comes in, because there's a fan base out there that is going to be totally split, and it's just going to divide and conquer. It just, who's going to win out? And that's why I really don't want to see him in here.
So there's more cons than pros, really.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what is he going to bring excitement? But like I said, did you go to the game, or did you watch it on TV today?
TV.
Exactly. So there was no blackout. So the stadium's obviously getting filled enough to be able to watch at home. I don't think that Tebow, maybe for the first couple games, sure, he might fill the seats up. He might fill the stadium. But like I always say, winning cures all. And if he doesn't start winning after those first couple games, people are going to forget all about it.
Sure, I understand. Well, you know, I mean, why don't they put him in a back position?
How about we not talk about answers? Let's talk to somebody else about the football. He's not even in the league, man. Let's talk about football.
Let's talk about guys
that are playing now.
Last closing point on him. There was reports out that other teams were interested in him making a switch to a different position, and he said no. He only wants to play quarterback.
I don't even understand
why
people even talk about a backup quarterback that's been cut. Let's talk about the guys that are in the league playing on Sunday today.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in St. Augustine. Mike, how you doing, man?
Yeah, all I got to say, hey, it's karma is a you-know-what. You know, I gave back my tickets when they let Garrard go, and since way back when, all they're doing is losing and losing and losing. And all I got to say to Coach Gus and to GM Caldwell is Shad Khan is a businessman, and if they don't start getting their act together, hey, he's going to go find somebody else that will. And the number one thing is, they better bring Tebow in, baby, or they're gone, man. They don't have a choice, and I'm going to leave it right there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Honestly, I don't think we know what kind of owner Shad Khan is going to be, and I say this. There's only two types of owners in the league, or maybe three. We'll say three. There's the ones that want to win at all costs. There's the ones that want to make a profit at all costs. Then there's the ones that are in the middle. We don't know what kind of guy Shad Khan's going to be. You know, I could name a guy like a George Steinbrenner when he was alive. You can name a guy like a Mark Cuban. They don't care what their payrolls are. They want to win championships. Mm-hmm. And then you have other guys, like you've seen the Florida Marlins, their owner. How many times have they won the World Series and then destroyed their entire team, just sent everybody away? That's because they want to make a profit.
Money.
So you're just not sure what kind of guy Shad Khan's going to be. And I don't think we'll know for a little while. He's never going to tell us.
he's young. The whole team is young. It's his second year owning the franchise. First year for Caldwell to be a general manager. First year for the head coach to be a head coach. You got rookies all over the place that's playing for you. You figure Blaine, for all intents and purposes, is a new quarterback. You know, it's a lot of youth right now in the whole Jaguar organization.
Yeah. Man, we got a lot of calls, and we got to take a break.
Let's do it, man.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Coming back after this here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. My name is Jay Gray. I'm joined here by Marco Coleman. This is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Got a lot of calls, man, especially on a 28-2 loss. You know you're going to get a lot of angry people calling in. That's just the way it goes. So let's get right back to it with Lewis in Mandarin. Lewis, how you doing today, man?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
I'm good, Lou. How is it?
All right. I'm okay, man. I got to disagree with you on the play calling. I didn't have a problem with it because for the past couple of years, that's all we've been, you know, mad about as fans is, you know, run, pass. So when they went out and they, you know, first three plays were passed, I was like, okay, you know, we just got to do better as far as, you know, making the plays. But, you know, and Blaine Gabbert, we just got to get him the shot for once and for all. I see it as a win-win situation. If he goes out and he kills it, you know, we got our quarterback. If he goes out and he falls flat on his butt, we got a pretty good, you know, pick next year to get us our guy. So, I mean, win-win situation. Just let him out. As long as he's healthy, let him out. You know, let him go out there with him and see what he can do.
Well, Lou, I mean, I guess you're referring to my MJD comments, and it wasn't 25 runs. It was 25 touches. MJD should have the ball, whether you're passing it to him or running it. On third down, you took him out of the game.
He's your main offensive
And you
weapon.
Throw the ball to Forsett.
You got to give it to him more often.
Yeah,
than
you don't
else.
Take him out of the game unless he's injured or he's tired. There's nobody else. Forsett is just a reserve for when this guy is tired. He should not even be a part. I mean, MJD can catch the ball, the little swing passes. And in the open field, he is one of the most, the hardest guys to tackle. He runs over DBs.
He's tiny and he's big and he's quick.
And he can get
deadly
it going.
Deadly combination.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't saying run the ball every down. That is stupid. I'm saying get the ball to the guy that's the best player on the offensive team.
The, you know, you run the ball on first down. You hopefully pick up 3 or 4 yards. And you got a manageable second. See what happens there. And then a manageable
or
third.
Throw MJ a screen on the first down. I mean, it's however you want to do it. That's the up to the that's why the offensive coordinator gets paid the big bucks. Figure that out. How can I get my best? Because you know what? The Kansas City Chiefs figured it out. They motioned, and they got Jamaal Charles matched up on Geno Hayes. And guess what happened? He throws him the ball and was just a shoestring tackle away from scoring. So that's what I'm talking about. Figuring out a ways to get your best player the ball as often as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, we always say, you know, he's a pretty good coach, perennial playoff winner. He's been pretty balanced. You know, 34 passes, 28 rushing attempts. It's a pretty balanced day on offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming from a guy that you know likes to pass the ball and go down the field often. Let's keep these calls going with Rim in Atlantic Beach. Rim, that's a pretty cool name, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Is it Tim or
okay,
Rim?
Okay, first of all. Tim.
Okay.
Tim with a T.
No worries.
What'd
you
get? It's all good. Hey, anyway, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I don't know what they that's not enough.
Say it again.
Wait, what?
You broke
I
up.
I said, I don't know what they pay you guys, but it's not enough.
It's
appreciate
never
what
enough.
You're doing.
Yeah, it's never
I
enough.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot.
But anyway, here you are. I mean, opening day, you know, you totally embarrass yourselves and you pretty figure out what the problem is. You throw Henny in, it's a sinking ship. So.
All right, we got to drop you off. I'm sorry, Tib, but your cell phone was just breaking. And, you know, I wouldn't go as far as saying it was a total embarrassment because to be embarrassed, you have to have lofty expectations. I don't think anybody, including the fans, didn't have very high expectations for the Jags this year. They are what they are. They're in rebuilding, and I know people are tired of hearing that they're in rebuilding because it seems like every year they're in rebuilding, but they are.
This is
you know, they would have been embarrassed if they went out today, lost 28-2 when people were picking them to go to the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously we want the offense to start scoring, but we knew it was going to be a tough year from the start. That's the way rebuilding goes, and, you know, the regime that was in here before, some of their draft picks, some of their players, free agents, haven't panned out, and that's why we're continually rebuilding. Hopefully with the new regime, we're finally going to get the players in we need, we're finally going to get in the system, and we can stop talking about rebuilding and start talking about playoffs.
The thing is, when we get to week 5, 6, 7, we want to look back at this game and say, is the team have they gotten better within a month and a half? You know, that's going to be the telltale, the progression of this team. So, you know, where they are right now, I don't imagine or anticipate them being that same place in week 16. They shouldn't be. Or, yes, you know, I think we should all be disgruntled.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The show is just going too quick. We have so many great calls. We got to take one more break. We're going to come back, finish up the talk, maybe take one or two more calls here on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. What up, I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Last segment here on Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Getting right back to the Metro PCS call-in line. Let's start off with Jason from Pontevedra. Jason, how you doing today?
Great, how you guys doing?
Hey, good, Jay, doing well.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, it was a very good game. It is what it is. We're still the Jaguars regardless, but I'm sure the Wright brothers didn't dismantle the plane after the first flight.
Yeah, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, man. That wasn't the case.
Exactly. So it's a work in progress. You sit back, you reevaluate, you find out what went right, what went wrong, and then you analyze and you make corrections, but you don't scrub the drawer. You know, it just takes too much work to get to that point. I mean, there was some positives. You know, you did have. You know, but you just need more of them and so forth and so on. I mean, the Jaguars are a very good football team. You know, they have more optimism, and that's always a good thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a new year. It's a new, like I said, a new bunch of people in place and stuff, new head coach and so forth and front office staff. So I think it's going to take time for those things to work themselves out and stuff. So I don't think today is going to be an indicator of what the season is going to be. You just have to wait and see what happens and then allow them to go back to the drawing board and make the corrections necessary. And that's what a good good coaching staff will do for you.
Well said,
exactly.
Jason.
Thanks for the call. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I know fans are sick of hearing about rebuilding because it seems like every year we talk about rebuilding. It seems like every time it's like, all right, when are we finally going to be winners? Because you see teams like a Washington or like a Seattle who can just turn it around, even Indy, can turn it around in one season and they're good to go. And people around here, they're just sick of losing, and I understand the frustration. But at the same time, you also have to realize this is a young team. Not every team's going to blow up overnight like those guys do. It does take some time to get back into the winning graces, and a lot of that has to do with missed draft picks of the past. You know, I know everybody loves a great punter, but Russell Wilson was on the thing. I know people like Gabbert, but J.J. Watt was on the board. So, you know, you have those things. Hindsight's always 20/20. You just got to remember those things when going forward. It's going to take a little time to rebuild because there are a lot of holes on this team. By a 28-2 loss, you can definitely tell there's still a long way to go. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Just a long way to go.
It's
going
to
take us a little longer than some of the other teams, but I'm guaranteeing we're going to get there. It just seems with the new coach, new GM, new owner, everything's going to get there. Last call of the day. Let's go to Bill on the South Side. Bill, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You guys were asking about Mr. Khan, what kind of owner he was. Well, I believe he is a prestige owner. You know, he's kind of double-minded, you know, American football, soccer. I mean, he's like a bigamist, you know. He's married to two women, but he can't do either one of them.
Hey, I mean, there's a lot of owners across different sports things that own different multiple teams. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, he's kind of a prestige owner, you know, the prestige of owning sports teams, you know, like that yacht he's got. You can't be passionate about American football and then be flying over there to a darn soccer team, man. In
Britain, sure you can.
I don't know how you can do that.
Look at Mark Cuban, man. Mark Cuban was trying to buy the Cubs for how long? He's so passionate about his Dallas Mavericks.
I'm not an owner. I'm not an owner, but I have a passion for football, and my son plays soccer, so I go from Saturday, Friday football games to Saturday afternoon soccer games.
Okay, well, good. But I still think he's kind of double-minded. But anyway, you know, Blaine Gabbert is about the unluckiest quarterback in the league. I just wish him all the best, and I hope he can succeed. And I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, Bill.
For the call.
You have a good day.
He's got a great point about Gabbert. I mean, look at what this guy's gone through. Three different coaches in three different years. He finally puts a great game, wins his starting job, and then he's out for the next 2 weeks with a thumb injury.
His ankle, remember, he kind of twists his ankle early in training camp?
Yeah, it's been one thing after another. And you know what? Sometimes that just happens to guys. They're just unlucky. And that also goes to an evaluation process. You know, it's hard to say that, but if a guy just keeps getting injury after injury, and they could be freak injuries. He could slip on a patch of ice when they're in Green Bay or something.
Just
you know?
Just like for some guys, all he does is make plays.
Exactly.
All this guy does is get hurt.
I mean, you got to look at that's part of the process, and I'm sure they're evaluating that now.
I'm sure they are.
But we got to run. 355-NFL1. That's the number to call in for next week. We got a ton of calls. We couldn't get to them all. Love when people call in.
Holler at us.
The question is, are they going to be as passionate calling in on road games as they are home games?
Got to. There's going to be some people, if it looks like this week, we need some people asking for refunds on their televisions after they break.
It's going
to
be real interesting next week because I think both me and you early in the season, and there's going to be a lot of people nationally, they're going to have the Jaguars winning against Oakland. I know the Jags have been pretty bad on the West Coast, but this is a game they should win. This is a game that Oakland doesn't look as good. I mean, they looked a little better today than we thought they were going to be, but this is definitely one of those winnable games. They don't have the Pro Bowl stars that Kansas City have. They've got basically a rookie starter in Terrell Pryor. I know he's been in the league, but this is his first chance starting,
too. Their defense is kind of, like I said, he's not going to see what he saw today. I mean, that Kansas City defense was ferocious. I'm looking for the Kansas City defense to probably be one of the best in the league, the way that they do schematically. That's tough. That's going to be tough for any quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders put up 17 points against the Colts. It was a close game. They were basically winning till late in the fourth quarter, and the Colts came back with a touchdown on them. But like I said, Oakland not predicted to do very well this year. We got to take things week by week. They've got a decent running back in Darren McFadden, but another guy that gets hurt a lot that isn't consistent throughout the year. So who knows? Maybe he'll be hurt midway through the game.
Just don't know.
Exactly. I mean, they've got a quarterback in Terrell Pryor who's basically a rookie. This was his first game starting. He threw one touchdown, two interceptions, 217 yards. Nothing special there. You know, he was their leading rusher. There's something you have to look at as well. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with these quarterbacks? They're going to see that this week with Terrell Pryor, and they're going to see that in a couple weeks up in Seattle against Russell Wilson. So it's going to be a good test to see how they're actually going to do for the homecoming of Gus
Bradley. Who does the best job of going back to the drawing board.
I want to thank everybody again for listening to the Scoreboard Show. We do this every week. An hour after the game ends, we're on taking your calls, giving you your first chance to chime in and talk with us, and just whether you want to just vent or you just want to hang out and say what a good job you think the team did. Thanks again for everybody listening. Marco, are you on Twitter yet? I know we've been asking you.
Nah.
You didn't get there, man.
Still
come
not
on.
Yet. I'm working on it, man. I'm going to go ahead and get Twitterized.
You got to get on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. JGray_WOKV. Follow me because it's a huge ego trip every time I get a new follower. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show. Back again next week after the 28-2 loss by the Jaguars. 0-1 on the year. Hopefully getting that record even next week against Oakland. Thanks for listening here on Jaguars Radio.
See you.